Morning. Just a quick announcement. Now's the time to dismiss for Camp Wannabe. If you have anyone in that age group, you're welcome to go back there and attend Camp Wannabe. There's also a couple announcements I want to make before I get started. One, I'm Paul, by the way. You may not recognize me without the goatee. Another thing is, a week from tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we're meeting up here at the building to deliver these boxes. The food boxes to the 160 families, and we need your help. We need all the drivers that we can get. So please, if you have time, a week from tomorrow at 4 o'clock up in the building, please come up and be a part of that. And also, as you notice, we still have boxes left. So if you would like to buy a box, take a box home, you know, we still have turkeys and all that stuff left too. So if you can still donate, please do that. It's so important. Through the two Thanksgiving dinners that we're doing, through the boxes, and then Thanksgiving dinner actually on Thanksgiving Day, I think we're going to, I don't know if I've totaled it right in my head, we're going to serve over 800 people this Thanksgiving holiday. Isn't that neat? Isn't that amazing that we get to, you know, I just, absolutely, absolutely, definitely need to, what a blessing. What a blessing that God has blessed us with. Well, this morning, this sermon, as I was putting it together and praying and looking at scripture and different things like that, from a perspective of a parent, because I'm a parent of two wonderful little boys, and you've probably noticed that my dad's here. He got called my twin brother. Who called him my twin brother? What is that? Come on now. I'm 28. He's 57. Okay, as I was putting this sermon together, this is something, the words that I write is something that I desperately needed to hear. So this sermon this morning, I'm preaching to myself. I'm going to preach to myself, and you are more than welcome to listen in. But this morning, I'm definitely preaching to myself. This is actually the first sermon I think that I've ever walked out on. I walked out of my own sermon. I was writing it, and I was like, oh, that offends me. And I just, you know, I don't know. It was kind of funny how that worked, but because it just hit so close to home when I was looking at some of the scriptures. But so let's go ahead and begin. I just read this story a while back that talked about a metro train in the south side of Chicago that derailed because it was going 69 miles an hour in a 10-mile-an-hour zone. A few people were killed and several were injured. The wreck didn't have to happen. The reports came out, which I guess you don't need a rocket scientist to think this, but the reports came out and said he was going too fast. Yeah, obviously. Yes, he was. Some of the things that the conductor forgot. He forgot that a wreck happened just 2 years earlier in that same spot when another train was going 70 miles an hour. He didn't pay attention to the warning lights that were working to tell him to slow down. And also, at the time of the accident, he had been talking on his cell phone. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, oh, man, what in the world? If you would have asked the conductor what mattered most, he would have said, oh, of course, the safety of the people on the train. But his actions didn't back up his beliefs. And this morning, we as parents are conductors of the metro train of life. We carry on our train the most precious cargo, the most precious passengers. I guess sometimes they feel like cargo, but they're passengers. And that is our spouse and our children. And we do that. The safety and welfare of our families. And listen to this, because this is the whole point of my lesson. The safety and welfare of our families depend on the speed of our lives. We are in a culture that is going way too fast. Do you feel it? Do you feel tired? Do you come in here and just kind of fall into the chair because you're just so drained? You're just so wore out at the pace in which we live? Our kids have more stuff than ever before. Our kids have more gadgets and doodads and things that launch missiles. I don't know what they do. But we have more stuff than any other time in history. But yet, this culture is called the abandoned generation. It's called the abandoned generation because for too many of us, we've left technology to raise our children. And this morning, as I stand before you, I have a confession to make. I am a hurried lifeaholic. I am. I'm addicted to the pace of life in which I live. At best, I'm crazy busy. At best, I have so much things on my plate, I'm just spinning the plates. I'm just spinning the plates, going crazy. But at my worst, stress is my drug. I have to admit that sometimes I gain my self-worth from my profession. I can't say no when people ask me to do things because I'm a spineless people pleaser. Even though I say God and family comes first, you couldn't tell it by my lifestyle. My son calls me by my first name sometimes because I believe I haven't earned the right to be called daddy. He doesn't see me. I've become a drive-through parent, a run-through spouse, a text message friend. There's some days that I'm tired, I'm lonely, I'm distant from God. I'm sacrificing my heart, my depth, my joy, my family, my friends for a piece of paper called a to-do list. I'm on the verge of derailing my train because I am going way too fast. Now this morning, my hope is not to say this stuff to receive pity or to get a sympathy card or even a pat on the back that says a job well done. I confess this because I have a suspicion that I'm not the only one in this room with that disease. My life goes way too fast. There's a lot of Bible verses that boggle my mind. I don't know, are there Bible verses that do that to you too? I mean, when you're reading, you're like, what in the world? That's amazing. Why is that in there, you know? One, for instance, just kind of funny that I thought of is in 2 Kings. It says, talks about Elisha going up to Bethel. And as he was going up to Bethel, some youths came out and started to make fun of him and said, go on up, you bald head, go on up. And what did he do? He turned around, called a curse on them, and two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youth. Bald is beautiful. That's right. And I think we're more godly too. I think that's what it's trying to say. Hey, so next time you make fun of me, guys, just know, bears. Yeah, you know, I'll do the little snap. But anyway, the verse that I want to hone in on, if you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Kings 19. This is the one that really boggles my mind sometimes. And even Randy Harris a few weeks brought it up. And even when he was saying it, just kind of, oh, made my head spin a little bit thinking about it. 1 Kings 19. It's right before 2 Kings. 19, starting in verse 11. All right. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13, it says, the Lord said, and this is talking to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. This is a beautiful, beautiful story of Elijah's encounter with Yahweh. The story talks about a wind that tears mountains apart, but God wasn't in the wind. It talks about an earthquake that split the ground, but God wasn't in the earthquake. It talks about a massive fire, but God wasn't in the fire. But God was in what some versions call the sound of silence. Okay, get Simon Garfunkel out of your head and stay with me a little bit. But the sound of silence. I am such a hurried lifeaholic that I look at the wind that God created and the earthquake and the fire and all of that stuff. And I say, now that's productivity. That's what I'm talking about. That's the God that I know that makes things rattle, that makes things shake. He is a doer. He is a mover. He's a shaker. But God being in the silence doesn't fit with my 21st century technological world in which I live. Boggles my mind. So let me ask you some questions this morning. And these are hard questions for me to swallow. Do you have time to maintain deep levels of intimacy with the most important people in your life? Does your life have space for God? is your train going way too fast? There's some warning signs that I think we can all look at. There's some lights that are blinking in front of us if our lights are going, or if our train is going way too fast. There's some things that I think that we need to look out for. Number one, if your life is full of constant clutter. Does that describe anybody in here? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just talking to myself. But sometimes it looks like I don't need a closet organizer. I need a closet exorcist. You know, I mean, I go in, I kick things in. I'm like, you know, back up. You know, they're all falling on me and everything. I don't know. Constant clutter is a warning sign. Number two, our addiction to speed. The pace of life, not the drug. But you want people to talk faster. So what you do is you complete their sentences for them. You go to the grocery store and you start doing math equations in your head to see which line's going to be the fastest. You go, how many carts in the line times number of items in the cart divided by the age of the checker equal, you know, I mean, we do this, you know, we do this. You know, we're addicted to speed. We can't wait any longer. We're in traffic and we just get so angry. You know, we get put on hold and we're like, I'll put you on hold. You know, I mean, we do this, you know, we want immediate responses. Number three, extreme multitasking. And this is something that I'm incredibly guilty at. You know, you may be listening to this message this morning and on your little BlackBerry or whatever responding to email. You know, I don't know. You take your family on vacations to a work convention. and some of you are laughing. I heard that, you know, like, ah, you're pointing at the guy. You know, you drive your car while shaving. You know, I don't know if somebody, you know, you've seen people do this. You're cleaning your gun and thinking of your daughter's boyfriend. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things that we can, you know, talk about the multitasking thing. But we, whatever it may be, multitasking leads to derailment. We do all this because we are anxious people. We're nervous. I mean, you know how much money Starbucks makes? I mean, man, they're just raking in the dough because we have the Starbucks shake, you know, if we don't get our little fix in the morning. You know, it's just like, need this, you know. And in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, and that boggles my mind too, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and this is beautiful. Don't you want this? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I think sometimes we run so long and so hard to find that peace that surpasses all understanding. If we think this, we have this lie in our head. We say, well, after this thing, it's going to slow down. After I do this, everything's going to be calm. After this, I can finally rest. But what God is telling us to do more than anything else, what He's screaming at us is He's saying, stop! Just stop the pace of life in which you live. Another warning sign, I think, is superficiality. We live as people with no depth. We get involved in petty arguments and gossip. We want things our way, or we're going to take our ball and go home. We live these superficial lives, and this is the statement that really gets me. In trying to become everything to everyone, we become nothing to no one. And I'm going to say it again. In trying to become everything to everyone, we become nothing to no one. And the last warning sign is relationship fatigue. I don't know how many of you guys do this, but I do this. I work a long day. And the kids always joke around. They say, what do you do as a youth minister, really? You know, but I really do work. Really do work. I work too much. And then I come in and I just fall on the couch. And Melanie goes, you want to mow the lawn? Oh, please, not another thing, you know. We have relationship fatigue. We don't have time and attention to give to those we love. The ones we love the most are the ones that get our table scraps. And some of you in this audience right now are saying, but Paul, you don't understand. I'm an important person in my business. And my question is, what's most important? Some of you are saying, I have to work 100 hours a week to support my family. But what I have to say is your family needs more than your money. And this is the one I get in ministry all the time. And I've actually heard this from somebody. I never slow down because the devil doesn't slow down. What? Is he our role model? What is that? You know? Don't slow down because the devil doesn't? No, I'm going to slow down. So the bottom line is Jesus left people unhealed. He left people's questions unanswered. He left events unattended. He said no to good things, significant things, important people. He said no to good things so that he can focus on what's most important. And a lot of us in this room right now, I think we're scared to slow down. I know I am, because when we don't want to slow down, because when we slow down, we come face to face with who we really are. And a lot of us don't like who we've become. We don't like silence, because it is in the silence that the Spirit of God convicts our hearts. So take this time to ask yourself two questions. Who have I become? And do I like who I've become? And we must deal with the fallout of the answers that we give. Don't let your train crash. You are the conductor, and you have on board the most important passengers in the world. We must learn to say no. And it's so hard for me to say. I don't know about you. I almost want to everyone say it together, but I'm not going to make you do that, because we need to learn to say it. It needs to be in our vocabulary. First, we need to say no to stories. Busyness carries with it the illusion of achievement. I hear this all the time. People ask me, Paul, you keeping busy? And I wear it like a badge of honor. Yes, I am. You know, and I walk, I'm busy. I'm important. I carry around a little notebook and I'm talking to people and shaking hands and doing all that stuff. But it comes with it the illusion of achievement. So do me a favor. Do me a favor, please. And I need to do this too. Stop being impressed with the busyness of other people. Busyness in one area a lot of times leads to brokenness in others. There's a price to pay for busyness, and the price is pretty steep. In James, it says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. We need to start taking a check of our priorities. Number two, we need to say no to noise. We have constant noise. I don't know if you do this or not, but I wake up to noise. I go to sleep with noise. I go home because I want peace and quiet, but I got two kids screaming and yelling and stuff, so I don't find it there. So I go on a walk to get peace and quiet, but I put my headphones on. And then when all else fails, I just go to Sharper Image and buy those nature sounds, you know, just to listen to in my house. We are constantly surrounded by noise. We have cell phone noise. And I had to ask myself this question. Am I really that important to the universe that I can't turn off my cell phone long enough to eat a meal or worship and celebrate the Lord? And that convicts me. We have email noise. We are addicted to our email. I must hit my send and receive button 100 times a day. It's like, you know? And I'm just looking for that next cheesy forward or that email. This is really great. That email with the red exclamation mark that comes up, the really important one. You know, and I'm looking for those. So two words today. Power button. We need to turn it off. We need to turn it off. We need to hit the power button, because we need to start taking control of our lives and not letting technology take control of our lives for us. I'm going to dictate when I'm going to return my calls. I'm going to dictate when I return my emails. Nothing is that pressing. Now, our cell phones and all that stuff, am I telling us to buy a buggy and go Amish? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. Because technology is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But what I'm asking is that we change our hurried lifestyle so that we can do what Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. It is in the stillness. It is in the quiet that we see and experience God. And number three, we need to say no to more. We need to say no to more. And I may be shooting myself in the foot as a youth minister here, but I'm going to say it. I think if we cut out half of the things that we do, we're going to be more healthy people. And if we cut out half of the committee meetings and the sports teams and the volunteer efforts and, yes, even youth group events, I think we're going to be healthier people and have healthier families. Because here's the kicker. Because we would be spending time with our families who need our attention much more than an event that needs our attendance. So the conclusion. What matters most? I don't know about you, but my priorities have been out of whack for far too long. When Jonathan gives the invitation, I'm going to be the first one in line. to sit on this front pew. I need to rededicate myself to being the parent that God wants me to be. I will be the first one forward because I desperately need the help of this congregation. And I think we all do. I think we all do. So may God bless us to be the people He wants us to be and to see the warning signs in our lives and slow down before it's too late. May God bless us.